behind this moment.
And we know he is because he promised he would be. Well, let the musicians go ahead and take their seats. It's good to be in the house of the Lord with you.
Amen.
It's good to be a Christian. It's good to know that God has done something in our lives to be thankful for. Amen. And we want to make sure that we don't keep it to ourselves. We want to share it. Amen. So we thank the Lord for helping us here to be what we are for this day. We know that he can take us even further and make us what we need to be. We're not there yet, and I know that none of us are yet, but amen. To the young people and to the parents of the young people, it's about time for another bike ride. Amen. I enjoyed that the last time we had it, and I don't know, you know, if it'll turn out to be a full-blown thing like we had last time or just something for the young people, but I'd like for the parents of the young people to kind of get with me. Let's see if we can't have another day where we go to the park and the young people ride their bikes. And I've got me a patch kit now. So if my bike tire goes flat halfway around the track like it did last time, I'll be able to stop and fix it if I have to. So let's do that. And also, Daniel mentioned the Bartlesville had a men's breakfast April 6th. Had a flyer that I meant to bring, and I forgot to bring and put on the bulletin board. But it's not just a breakfast. It's also a service after breakfast that morning. It's a service where the men will be ministered to. And then after that will be a question and answer session. And so it might turn out to be pretty interesting, something that would be very liberating for us. I don't know, but any of the brothers that would like to go, we can carpool, probably go up early that morning. We would have to leave early and then come back the same day, so there wouldn't be any motel stays or anything like that. But I think it would be good. I think that there are things that needs to be ministered out of the gospel that would be only appropriate for a group of men, you know, that are just men and not women. There's things that need to be brought out sometimes that you can't say in a mixed crowd. And I don't know if that's what will happen then, but the environment will be that way so that, you know, it's possible that those things could happen. But anyway, I need to let them know so they can make plans on how much food to have for breakfast. And so if you'll get with me, if you would like to go to that, please let me know. Hopefully in the next week, we'd like to let them know. And so just had to kind of want to explain that a little bit more detail there as to what that was all about. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to open to St. John chapter 5. And also we'll read from St. John chapter 14. And the title today, I'm titling this Living by Inspiration. St. John chapter 5, and one verse there, verse 19. Some very familiar scriptures to us. Actually, you know, I hope it's this way, but pretty much the entire Bible, just about anywhere we would go and read the scriptures, ought to be familiar to you, especially in the Message. But some scriptures are used more than others because they mean so much and they're so pertinent to this day and to our experience. St. John chapter 5, verse 19. It says, "And then Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doth, these also doth the Son likewise." Now let's go to St. John 14. We'll begin reading at verse 1. We'll go all the way down to verse 12. Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how canst we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall ye do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Let's pray just for a moment. Heavenly Father, we want to bow our hearts to you this morning, as you have granted to us another time that we could come be together, Lord, around those that have the same glorious faith, God, that's in our own hearts. We come together as a group of eagles, Lord, that feast around the same word, the same nourishment, Lord. We know we're a blessed people to be here. And as we come together, we just ask, Lord, that you take these words that are the words of eternal life, Lord, and that you would quicken it to us this morning. We know that, Lord, it doesn't lay in the man to make the word come alive, but it's in thy Holy Spirit. We just give you the preeminence this morning, Lord. We ask that you just come and touch every heart, bless everyone. Lord, the needs that are out here among us, Lord, you know what they are. And so, God, we just give you the honor, and we recognize, Lord, that you're the one that makes it all work. We're happy to be your children. We're happy to be gathered in my house this morning. And we give you the complete liberty this morning that you deserve to be here, to be Lord of us and Lord of this service. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. Living by inspiration. We find out here in the scriptures that we just read that Jesus said, and you know, he had the most dynamic ministry there was on earth. And I can say that. I know that Brother Branham come along in our day and said, you know, that the Lord Jesus had more success in my own ministry than he did in his own. And Brother Branham clarified that. He said, notice what I said. The Lord Jesus had more success in today's ministry than what he had in his own. And that's true, because it was the Lord Jesus Christ that was doing it today. But there was a difference between Brother Branham and the Lord Jesus. Because the Lord was the Word made manifest, and He was, as we said, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and He didn't have to have a Savior, but Brother Branham did.
Right, right.
And so Brother Branham had to lean on and trust in God, and I'm going to show you that he had to do it in the same way Jesus did, but he had to do it even in a greater way, because he was sin-born flesh. Jesus was not sin-born flesh. He wasn't born by sin. And so, but Jesus actually said here, we read in the scriptures there, he said, it's not me that does these things. He actually said, it's the Father that dwelleth in me. And we're talking about living by inspiration this morning. And we need inspiration. I think that we forget just how much we do need inspiration. And we'll talk about it in many ways this morning. I may use some other words for inspiration as we go through it. But you understand what we're meaning is that we need God to come down and visit us. We need an anointing to come upon us. And regardless of what we are and how stern we are and how hard we try on ourselves, we still need that anointing. And so Jesus was our example. And he shows here, when we saw these, he said, well, it's not me that doth these things, it's the Father that dwelleth in me.
Amen.
And so, and Jesus said, now you've got to believe that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me. But he was establishing this concept that it wasn't him, but it was the Father that was in him. But he also comes along and he says this. He says, now if you have seen me, you have seen the Father.
Right.
And so there, you will see real quickly, there is a balance in this, and this is something I think that God really wants us to come to, and I know we will. I know that to a certain degree it's already working in us, but for us to be just as the example was in Jesus, to find out that, you know what, it's not me, I can't do these things, and yet when God comes upon me and God anoints me and He inspires me to live His Word, I become the very image of the Father when I do that. So Jesus said, when you've seen me, you have seen the Father.
Right.
And so that's what I wanted to point out there. And so what I want to show you there is, and then here's how the Brother Branham said it. He said, the Father that sent him went in him. And so, you know, it's kind of, might be just a slight rabbit trail, but it comes to mind right now. But, you know, I've mentioned several times now that in the several weeks now, how that God took his place among the angels is Michael. And this is part of the revelation that God wants us to come to and realize is that God chose to come down and make his presence known, and he always chooses someone to do that with.
That's right.
And so when he comes to do that, sometimes that person or that angel, if you want to say, in the case of Michael, becomes the very expression, so much of an expression of God that just like Jesus in this case here, he said, when you see me, you have seen the Father. Well, we realize the scripture says that you can't look upon, nobody has seen God, but the only begotten hath declared him. So there's this concept here that when God sends someone, he goes in them, and as he goes in them, they become the very God manifested. And so that's what Jesus is pointing out here. Well, I noticed on one of the things they complained about with Believe the Sign was how that Brother Branham said that Michael was Christ. And they come along and they said, well, how could that be so? Because the scripture says that Michael disputed with Satan over the body of Moses, and Michael said, the Lord rebuke you. Well, how could Michael be Christ if he said, the Lord rebuke you? And so what the part that's the great revelation for us to understand, and which I think we do understand this, is that God comes and he sends someone and he goes in them, and there are times that one that he sends that he goes in and becomes, there's times that person is speaking in the stead of God, and there's sometimes they're not speaking in the stead of God. They may refer to God as another person, and there's times when they are referring to God as though they are God. And I'll give you an example. Jesus is speaking there at one point, and he said, it's written in your law that I said ye are gods to whom the word of the Lord comes to. Now, you know the word of the Lord comes to prophets. So prophets had so much of the dynamics of God in their life that people almost looked at them as though they were God.
Right.
So it was actually known in the scriptures, and Jesus pointed out, said, you know, even in the law, it's written that they're gods to whom the word of the Lord comes to.
Right.
And so Jesus is standing there, and he refers to this. And you may have heard me mention this before. But Jesus is standing there, and he says, isn't it written in your law, and he's speaking to the Pharisees and Sadducees, isn't it written in your law, the law of Moses, that I said, that I said,
right?
That they are gods to whom the word of the Lord come to. And the very next sentence he said, and if he said they were gods. So here's one moment, Jesus is standing there and he's speaking like the first person. I wrote this. This is my word. And then he says, and if he said that, then, and he goes on and tells the rest of the thing. So there's an example there that you can see that Jesus sometimes is speaking as first person, sometimes he's speaking as though he's not. And so that's Jesus at that particular time, at that particular place, where he was the manifestation of God, where the Father had anointed him, went in him, and there were times he would speak as though he was God, and there were times he would speak as though he wasn't God.
Right. Right.
Well, that same characteristic happened in heaven, this is the way I understand it, with Michael. So Michael was Christ. There were times he was the expression, and there were times where he would not express himself as though he's Christ. But you understand that the program of heaven was committed to Michael. And it was Michael's program. It was Michael's kingdom, as Brother Branham said it. And Satan couldn't stand that. You come down and you see Jesus. He was the expression of God. He was that expression on earth. He had a kingdom to present. He had a system and a way of what he was trying to deliver to man. And Satan didn't like it.
Right.
And so you see how that works. So the concept is that When God sends you, He goes in you. The Scripture says this, He that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me, right? Jesus said that? He says, He that receiveth you receiveth me.
That's right.
And he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me.
That's right.
Right? Right? So whenever someone goes in the name and the power of the Lord, though the people may not understand that, when they accept that person and the gospel that they're preaching, they're actually accepting Christ. They're actually accepting the Father.
Right.
But when they, at the same point, they reject that one, then they are rejecting Christ and they're rejecting the Father all in one fell swoop.
That's right.
That's right. So what I've said many times is if God says it, if God says it's a certain way, then that's it. And if God said, listen, I'm going to come down and I'm going to dwell in that piano, and if you want to be saved, you've got to come and pray to me right there at that piano. And I know that's ridiculous, but I'm just saying, if God said it and that's the way it was, brother, sister, there's no way for us to get to God unless we go that route.
Amen.
So if God said, listen, world, I'm sending my people.
Right.
I'm going to visit you in them. And you've got to recognize that. That's why Jesus said, unless ye recognize that I am He,
right,
you'll die in your sins.
Right.
So He's saying, I am the one. I'm the one that God sent. And yet right here we see in the Scriptures, He says, you know what? See, it's not me. It's not me. I'm not doing this, but it's the Father in me.
That's right. Amen.
In other words, Jesus is pointing to the very anointing. He's pointing to the very one who has anointed him, sent him, and says, you know what, it's him. He's the one that makes his work. Now I want to point out to you that Jesus was the Word made flesh. And I would say that if you ever wanted to seek out one person that in their life, their presence in this earth could be called the Word made flesh, Jesus would have been him. The mechanics of his life was the Word made flesh. And yet he's testifying that even the Word made flesh in itself can do nothing. Because we understand it takes the Holy Ghost to anoint the Word.
Right.
It takes the Holy Ghost to take this Word and make it alive to you. It takes the Holy Ghost to make this Word come alive.
Amen.
Right? That's all there is to it. And so, what am I saying? Even the Word needs to be inspired or anointed by the Holy Ghost to come alive. And so, Jesus said, it's not me, it's the Father. And so, in other words, the Father that sent him went in him, is the way Brother Branham said it. And so, but what I want to say to you is that you, the one that sends you, the one that sent you, goes in you. The one who has called you and said, go and be a Christian, be expression of me in this earth. He goes with you, he goes in you, and you become a visitation of him to those around you. You become that visitation of him because he's in you.
Right.
And it's up to the people of the world whether they see that or recognize that or not. But the point is, it's just as sure as anything. And Jesus comes on down and he says here, he says, if you'll believe that I'm the Father and he's in me, if you can believe that, then you can go forth and these works that I do, greater works than these that
That's right.
shall you do. So he's trying to show you, we have to come to this concept and understand this. If you believe that I am in the Father and the Father me, and in another place Jesus goes on and talks about it, and he said, in that day you'll know that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me, and I'm in you and you're in me.
Right.
Because as he has sent me, so send I you.
Right.
So he's making it very clear to us that through this understanding, this revelation, that he sends us, he backs up his word.
Amen.
This is why Brother Graham tells us, he says, we have no power, but we have authority.
That's right.
He said, the little guy on the street there, the policeman with his little whistle, probably weighs 110 pounds or whatever he weighs, and some of them cars with 300, 400 horsepower, he don't have enough power to stop nothing.
Right.
But he's got that badge on and that sort of thing. And when he throws up that hand and blows the whistle, he said, them brakes go to squeaking and everything else. He said, why? Not because he has power to jump out there and stop that car. It's not that. But the city, the authority of the city is behind him.
Right.
And so the people recognize when he's got that badge on, when he's got that uniform, and he's at his post of duty, we have to submit to that. Though we might be 300 or 400 horsepower strong in what we would think compared to him, we have to recognize his authority that even though we might can run it down, the whole city would come down on top of us and crush us like an ant,
right,
if we don't recognize it. And so Jesus is trying to show us here in this that when we have this concept, this understanding that He sends you, and when He sends you, He goes in you, and people have to recognize that, and also we know the devils have to recognize that.
Right.
Makes me think in the scriptures where the one guy was, or the seven men, I think, was going to go cast out some devils or something like that. And,
right,
and the demon spoke out and says, you know, Jesus we know and Paul we know, but who are you?
Right.
But you know, and the reason why I'm saying that is because the devils know.
Right.
People say, well, I believe in a prophet. Well, so do the devils.
Right.
You say, well, I believe in one God. So do the devils. But the scriptures, and it's funny to me that you can have people believe in the three gods when the scriptures said, thou believest in one God, you do well. The devils believe also and tremble.
That's
what the scriptures say.
Right.
And so God wants us to understand that He goes in us and He will back you up. If you are at your post of duty and you go forth doing what He said, it's Him and He will back it up. You have no power, but you do have authority.
Right.
What are we saying? That policeman could say, you know, I would throw my hand up and I would blow the whistle, but I'm afraid they'll run plumb over me. But you know what? He has and have to have enough confidence
that
he
would
say, you know what? The city's behind me and they have put me out here and told me to do this.
Amen.
Right.
So I'm going to step out in front of that car and throw up my hand and blow that whistle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the authority behind him that makes that car come to a stop.
Right.
We don't have the power to remove cancers in ourselves. We don't have the power to do those things.
Right.
But we do have authority.
Amen.
To pray for the sick and be what he said. And he tied it to this and said, these things that I do and greater, more, not greater, you couldn't do greater, but more things than this because there's more of us.
Right. Amen.
More things that we can do, the very same things. Pray for the sick, raise the dead up.
Right.
And so this is the kind of thing that God is trying to show us here. Now, Brother Bam tells us, and if you want to go read it, I've already taken longer just to get off my first paragraph of notes here. So I'm just going to, you're familiar with it, so I won't spend the time reading it, but in God provided place of worship, Brother Branham explains to us the concept of mechanics and dynamics. And he tells us, he says, you know, that's what's wrong with the church today. We have a lot of mechanics, but where's the dynamics?
Right.
He said, they don't have the dynamics. And he said, in other words, what I'm saying is, he said, it doesn't matter if you have the Cadillac and everything's just right in it, and even have gasoline in the cars, if you don't have the spark, the car will sit right there. And he actually said it in this particular quote I had. He said, if you don't have the spark on that gasoline, the car will sit there, the church will sit there, and he said, you will sit there.
That's right.
But until something comes down and sparks off the mechanics, until something does that, well, you'll just sit there. But when that happens, something sparks that the mechanics there, brings the dynamics to it. He said, then that church of God will move right down the road the way it's supposed to.
That's right.
And he ends it by saying, he says, we're lacking the dynamical power to press this word and make it live for our day.
Right.
So, again, what I'm talking about when I say being living by inspiration or living by the anointing of God is for something to come and set off the mechanics that we might be dynamically what God has called us to be in this world, in this day. And so, Brother Ram tells us that in God's provided place of worship. We say so much about needing to live according to, to live the life of Christ into the world. We say a lot of things about that. But as I'm touching on this morning, it takes inspiration to do that. It takes an anointing from God to do that.
Right.
Just like I said, Jesus being the Word, but He said, I can't do nothing. The Word standard says, I can't do nothing myself.
Right.
Until the Father. So, you know, the Word is the body which God dwells in. He
right.
created by the Word.
Right.
He uses body to create with. But yet it's the life of the invisible Spirit of God that has to come into that and make it come alive.
Right.
And we're the same thing. We're the body of the Word. We are Christ. We're Word of His Word, flesh of His flesh, bone of His bone, the bride of Christ. But it still takes His anointing to come upon us.
Right.
We got a touch of that last Sunday evening. had a real good service Sunday evening.
Amen.
Kind of broke outside of the box of things. And that's exactly what I'm talking about. That's a burden that's on my heart. It's for us to not be cookie-cutter religion.
Right.
Not to be cookie-cutter church services. But that the Holy Spirit could have his ability to come in and dynamically visit us in every service.
Amen.
Dynamically take the singers and the musicians and the ministry and whoever's doing whatever it is that morning, that God, through his anointing upon that vessel, would visit in just a unique way that's only for that people, for that service, for that one time.
Right.
But that won't happen until that comes upon beating hearts of the mechanics that wants to serve him, till he comes upon them, and his own little touch of how he wants to visit this congregation will happen as he anoints that person, and that person, by the burden of their heart, pours out their expression to you.
Right.
So if you have a song to sing, don't come and sing by tradition. Right. Sing because you got a burden on your heart to do something for the body. Right? That's what we want to do. We don't want to, you know, we want to break out of cookie cutter things, you know? And so I know there's a lot of truths that have to be laid in with the message, and that's what we want to do. We won't deviate from that. But it's just like Brother Branham said, the Holy Ghost won't get outside of the Word. He won't. Other spirits will, but he won't do that. You know, so, you excuse me. So Brother Branham is telling us that, and we agree. So we say so much about living Christ to this generation. However, it takes the anointing of God. It takes inspiration to do it.
Amen.
Other names that I'm going to use for this inspiration this morning is a revelation. There's something to be revealed to you. A revelation. Brother Branham called it the dynamics coming up on the mechanics. And he also talked about it. He called it quickening power. Quickening power to come to us and cause us. He actually referred to it and said, when we look at those angels that appeared over Arizona, he actually said it's quickening power that caused us to see that. In other words, not to physically see it, but for us to see that was Christ.
Right.
That there was something unfolded. Quickening power causes us to see something maybe the rest of the world doesn't see. Quickening power causes us to know something or be something that the rest of the world doesn't, because they don't have that quickening power. And so we want that quickening power. We want as much of it as we can get. And that's why we must be in the Word every day.
Amen.
Because in order for quickening power or for the dynamics to come, it has to light upon some mechanics. You can't pour gasoline out on the ground and light it with a match and expect it to take you to town to buy groceries. There's got to be some mechanics there that's been put in place, designed specifically for the purpose, and then the dynamics has to come up on those mechanics. And so the mechanics is the Word. The quickening spirit comes upon the Word, and the mechanics is the Word. And God is laying in your experience, He's laying in you day after day through the Word. He's laying truth after truth after truth in there in your experience, so that He can come and anoint that and make that thing kick off and be a literal manifestation of God in this day because of that. So if you don't sit in the Word, if you're not sitting there in the Bible and in the tapes and under the Word and letting that ministry, letting it change your thinking of what we were in the world and bringing it to truths, then there's nothing there to quicken. So that's why we as believers, we need to stay in the Word. And God has made it this way, you know. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes I don't even get past the opening prayer, but I go to bed every night listening to a sermon. And sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night because God wants me to, because I hear something right as soon as I wake up, something that I've been praying about, something I need, something that's been on my heart or something like that. I'll hear it. I'll wake up and hear it right at that time. How many's ever done that?
Amen.
And so, and I'll say some more things maybe about that might tie into that just a little bit. But we have the Word available to us. And we should be into the Word.
Amen.
And you know, we've got Brother Branham. We have access to all kinds of things. just the tapes and so forth. And I think that Brother Branham, the ministry that God did through him, the messages that they're there, I think we should spend a lot of time in that. I'm not opposed to you listening to a minister from somewhere else so much. I will tell you this, that if in the process of you doing that, if you belong to this body of believers here, and you are listening to other ministers or whatever, that's fine. But if that relationship or that situation of you listening to other ministers causes you to become dysfunctional in this body that you belong to, there's something wrong.
Amen.
See, because we have to belong to a body. We have to have somewhere that Christ comes down and expresses his life through to be a blessing and to the rest of the body. And so people that have this disconnected religion, I've seen people years over the years say, well, you know, I just serve God in my own way. And they don't go to church. They don't do nothing. They don't touch any lives.
Right.
They're not doing anything for the kingdom of heaven.
Right.
And so, you know, there's something wrong with that picture. Any species you go to, whenever you look at them, and there's a male and female, and they have offspring. I mean, they're up and at it. They are tending to the needs of those that are weak among them.
Right.
Just the way it works.
Right.
And so, whenever I see that, I've seen that over the years, people, well, I just, you know, serve God the way I want to. And that's just, I would say that they're very deceived if they think that they belong to Christ and they're not actually in a situation where they have a burden for the body and they want to work and do something, touch lives. And so, anyway, that's kind of a rabbit trail, I guess, there. But we find out that it takes the mechanics for the dynamics to come on us. And we have to have that. We have to have the mechanics, and that's why we should be in the Word every day, so that there will be something for God to come and to ignite.
Right.
So Jesus gives us this example where he himself, even being the Word, said, I can't do this in myself. I have to be anointed of the Father. And yet when that anointing of the Father comes upon him, that whole life that's being lived there, he says, now you've seen the Father.
Right.
He didn't say, It's not, like Brother Branham pointed out, it's not the same oneness of a husband and wife. Husband and wife are one. The Scripture said they two become one flesh.
Right.
Not two flesh acting as one, as I said the other day. They become one flesh. But still yet, it's not this kind of oneness. Because Brother Branham pointed out when somebody confronted him about that, he said, well, do you see my wife? Well, no. Well, then this is different, because Jesus said, when you do see me, you see the Father. So I can look at Brother Daniel and I don't see Sister Vicki. Or I can look at Sister Vicki, I don't see Brother Daniel in that aspect. But Jesus said, when you see me, you have seen the Father. And so that concept, that balance is there for is a proper understanding. I am nothing until he's upon me.
Right.
But when his anointing comes upon me and quickens me, then I am him. And he backs up what he sent me to do, because it's him in me.
Right.
So Paul says, same thing, he picks it up over in one of the other books. I'm not familiar at the moment where to find it, but I know it's there. Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, I think. But he said, we are ambassadors for Christ. And that he says that he has sent me to tell you that you can be reconciled to God. And he said, we pray you, and the word pray means that, We're asking you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled. He's preaching the gospel. Come and be reconciled with God. God has committed to me this ministry. I can come down and I can tell you that you can be reconciled to God by what I'm telling you.
All right.
This is what Paul is trying to say. And he said, I pray you in Christ's stead, as though he sent me in his place, because that's exactly what he did. And so Paul understood that, and that's what he was saying. So the point I'm getting at is when you're confronted with things in life, everyday life, and you know that you're doing what's right, and especially when you're inspired, then you know them devils have to move out of your way. You know something has to happen.
Right.
I've seen it one time with my wife. I've seen it a couple of times. Something of faith that strikes her. And when I've seen it twice that I can remember. And when it happens, it's over with. Whatever the problem is, it's over with.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it, and it's amazing. But what am I saying? Inspiration. You can go through a battle. You can go through a trial, and inspiration can strike you. Maybe you've been going through this battle for days, weeks, months, or years, whatever, but all of a sudden, one day, the Holy Spirit can fall upon you, inspire you, and according to what we understand from the message, then it's over with at that point. Your healing or whatever it is that you need comes right at that point. It's over with. And nobody can change anything because that's the way it's going to be.
Amen.
And so that's the thing I'm talking about is we need to live by inspiration every day. Well, how do we do that? Well, maybe we get to that in just a little bit. And so Jesus was our example, and he tells us, I can't do anything except the Father, he works in me. So you find out Jesus is saying, it's not me. But, and it's the same for you, you can say, you know, it's not me. Brother Daniel and I have talked recently about different things, and I told Brother Daniel, I said, you know, if I'm standing and I'm talking to you, and out of the blue, something comes to mind for me to tell you. And you know, for some reason, I'm just, hey, oh yeah, I want to tell Daniel about this. And I tell him, and Daniel says, Brother Tony, that's exactly what I've been praying about. That's exactly what's on my heart. And I told Brother Daniel, I said, you know what? I can't take credit for that.
Right.
What am I going to do? Say, yeah, look at me. I knew right what was your need was, brother. I can't do that.
No.
All I can do is say, well, Brother Daniel, all I know is that it come from somewhere, and that's all I did. So we could say, you know, needs can be met by obedience.
Right.
And so we could, you know, it doesn't mean it's us, and we need to understand that. This is what I'm trying to get to. There's a balance. We need to thoroughly understand it's not us.
Amen.
It's not us. So Jesus said, well, it's not me. But he also wanted to let us know that when we do get anointed, when it does come upon us, when we become the quickened word, then it is us. And the reason why I say that is because that's our lot. That's our lot in God, in his economy, was to fulfill this position and be one in word with him. Be part of him so much that he actually takes us. When he takes his lot, he has to take us with him. We are him. Not two acting as one, but we are one with him. So we could say, well, you know, it's not me, but when that happens to me, when I go forth in his name like that, especially when I'm inspired, I am him. It is me. I can go. I can visit the people around me. I can make a difference in their life. I can do it because he's called me to do it. But there's an element of faith that has to be in there in order for that to happen. And so we do because it's a predestined position he gives us, and we thoroughly understand. You know what? Though in myself, in my weakness, I can do nothing. But it's through that weakness that I surrender to the knowledge to understand that he has called me, and I go in my weakness, but in his strength. Because he said so.
Right.
And that's how it works. And so, but it will require faith. And faith is always is something that will always require an element of not being able to explain it.
That's right.
And I guess I could say it like this. There's things in the Bible that we all know, that you and I know, that we look at and we can say, you know what, point blank here. Let's say, for instance, the understanding of Godhead, revelation of Godhead. We can look at this and say, you know what, anybody that has the ability to read ought to be able to see that. There's places in the Word like that where you could look at the world and say, can't you see that? It's right there, black, white, red. So there's places like that, but then there's also other places in the Bible where we see it and we know they can't.
Right?
We see it by revelation and we know they can't, and it's clear to us. But then there's a third type of place in there that we see and we can't explain it. We don't even understand it, but we know it's right. You see what I'm saying? And it's in that area right there. We believe it by faith, and there's an area, there's around any doctrine, whether serpent seed, Godhead, whatever else, there's always some area there that you can't thoroughly understand and explain, or else you wouldn't have faith. There has to be faith in it. And so that's the way it is. And so we've always talked about a tree, and the fruit is out on the end of the limbs. And back here on the tree, you know, if you've ever climbed trees, I've done it. You know, you can get a certain distance out on the limb and it gets pretty shaky. You know, and you begin to droop and wiggly and there's not much to hold on to. And you don't really feel real comfortable out there. So you kind of have a tendency to want to stay back here where you know it's a sure thing. And so, and this is the concept I'm trying to show here, is that that faith puts you out there on the end of that limb.
That's right.
You'll never, if you're looking for apples or fruit, you know, you're not going to do much sitting back here on the limb. You've got to get out there in order to find the fruit. And remember, Jesus talked about him being the vine, we be the branches. Where does he bear most of his fruit? Out here through us.
Right.
Not with him, but way off out there is a shaky ground. It's a place we don't want to go in ourselves. We don't want to be out there because it's a territory we can't explain necessarily so much. But faith requires that you go out there, and faith puts you out there, I put it the way. Faith puts you out there where those things can be. And yeah, to the world you look vulnerable, but it's out there where the fruit is, and you'll see things happen.
Good.
And so faith always requires us to operate in a realm that we can't always explain. And even if it's clear to us, we know we can't explain it to others.
Right.
But he's requiring us to operate in that kind of realm.
Right.
Well, I'll tell you right now, we in ourselves won't go out there. And let me, so what I want to present to you is back here is the mechanics. Out there is where the dynamics works.
Right.
So something has to strike us to get us out of ourselves where we want to kind of hang around where the trunk of the tree is, where we feel safe in our daily walk. Something has to strike us and make us move out, away from who we are in our secure selves, into God's security, because there's more security out there in the program of God than it is back here in ourselves, to move out into that place so that God can perform his word. And so, to me, what I'm presenting, it takes dynamics to move us out there. We can have all the mechanics in place, and we can say we believe the word and all these things, and Brother Branham actually says it in that quote that I didn't read. He said, no matter how much we say we believe, and we believe it's all true, he said. But no matter how much, he said, until something strikes us,
right,
the dynamic strikes that word that's in our heart,
right,
we'll sit right here.
Amen.
We'll sit in our four walls and in our box and not touch lives.
Right.
But it takes inspiration from heaven to anoint us and make us go out here in a territory we're not comfortable in going in ourselves.
Amen.
Most of us probably aren't real comfortable in raising our hands and I'm talking about in spontaneous worship because we don't do it that much, but we should do it.
Right.
And so that's what I'm speaking of this morning is we've got to break through this barrier to where we live our lives by inspiration every day. And I don't mean inspiration to take us off the Word. I mean inspiration of the Word.
Right.
To anoint that what we know to be truth that's been hand-delivered to us today.
Amen.
A special diet. You say a special diet, Brother Tony? Yes, because the Scripture said in Malachi, when it's speaking of the coming of Elijah, he said, "And then ye shall go and grow up as calves in the stall." Calves in the stall are special fed.
Right.
Is that right, brothers?
Amen.
They're probably special fed for a special reason. And so, it's a message like that, something that he has delivered to us specially, but we need the quickening of God to anoint us to be that. And it'll be off out there somewhere away from what we're comfortable in doing. And so we want to surrender to God and break out into something where the Holy Ghost can come upon us and move us out there anytime he wants to.
All right.
Not just when it's, well, okay, you know, but when God wants to move, then he'll move.
Yeah.
And I'm not speaking of wildfire. But I think even Brother Bradford said I'd rather have wildfire than no fire.
Right, man.
But we want the fire of the Holy Ghost to move and cause us to go forth. Listen, we got a whole church world out there, message church world. They all have their ways of doing things. They're sovereign. Let them do whatever. But we want God to anoint us and send us forth with his anointing to be what he wants us to be. Right here,
man.
Van Buren, Fort Smith, Eastern Oklahoma and Western Arkansas,
right,
to be what he wants us to be here. Because there's plenty, if we haven't looked lately, there's plenty of lives out there that need it.
Right.
That's what we want to do. And so Jesus is presenting this, that it's not him, but yet it is. And it's not us, but yet it is us because God has called us to that. And if we have the right attitude about it, what? The right revelation will bring service. The right attitude will bring a sacrifice. And so, this being out there on the end of the tree that I was talking about, It takes dynamics to put us out there. Something to fire off what we believe.
Right.
All the truths that we have. Godhead and you name it and everything. Something has to be alive causing that to go forth, or else it'll just be a bunch of just fixed works that there's no dynamics in. There's no life in it. We want it to be anointed. And so it takes dynamics to cause that happen. And to me, this dynamics, when I talk about it, if you could look at it and you could break it down, that you'd find in there is an extreme level of passion. Passion for lost souls. Passion for people to see God visit their life. A passion and a compassion. And we'll talk about that in just a little bit, but the word compassion. But inside there you'll find compassion and love. Desperation.
Right.
You'll find desperation and faith. Inside this quickening power. In other words, something that looks at the situation and is desperate for people, desperate for the lost souls, that'll cause us to sit here and say, you know what? Though I'm afraid to move out, we've got to move out.
Right.
I've got to get away from this tree because out there is where I've got to get out to a place where I agonize with God that He fulfill His word, as Brother Branham said it one time,
right,
that people don't do that anymore.
Right.
They don't agonize with God anymore to fulfill His word. And so that's what I'm saying, a place out there where it's different than our what we are, and put us off out there where God can get something done with us.
Right.
And I will also say something else, that if you looked on the side of that tree, you probably might find the word Laodicea written on it. Because lukewarm, just ever so religious, but yes, just comfortable.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everything's fine. You know, we come to church and we put just enough in that we kind of walk away kind of feeling like everything's fine. That's lukewarmness.
Right.
Amen.
What we want is to come and be on fire for God. That even if I was sleeping on the platform, that your faith and your desperation would cause God to come up here, even if I was asleep, that He would dynamically touch lives in this service.
Amen.
But saints, it won't happen underneath the banner of Laodicea.
Right.
It won't happen under us saying, well, this is just how we do things. No, it'll happen under us being desperate for a move of God.
That's right.
Amen.
Desperation that God will change.
Amen.
Those around us. Change our children and our family and our co-workers.
Right.
A desperation. And that's what I'm saying. Something has to strike what God's been giving us every time we listen to tapes for the last 20 some odd years or some of us more. Something has to happen to set us on fire. That we become, through desperation, He comes upon us and we step off out there and become the Word made flesh.
Amen.
Because we're not the Word made flesh so much when we're just standing quoting quotes.
Right.
And I've asked the question about what's the difference between teaching and preaching. I have sometimes people in the past say, Brother Tony, good teaching. Sometimes they say, Brother Tony, good preaching. What's the difference? Preaching is demonstrating the power, the gospel, not just talking about it,
right,
but there's a dynamic or something in it to let it be known that God is there to vindicate this. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And I don't know that's the best way to describe it, but that's what the way it comes to me right now to describe it, is that God's in it and it's not just talking about it, but there's a dynamics there to actually send it forth.
Amen.
And I know teaching has its place, because Brother Ram said teaching positionally places a person in the Word where who they are. But you see, the dynamics has to come upon it.
Right.
So we do want the Word to place us, but we also want the Holy Ghost to set us on fire to be what He said would be. And like the Scriptures and like Brother Brown talked about, I said, can you take fire and stick in a man's bosom in his shirt and him sit there and be quiet? And I'm not sitting here saying we got to be noisy. That's not what I'm trying to get at. Because you can be dynamic and just be as quiet as a mouse. You know, but You can't take fire into your bosom. In other words, there's got to be something burning in your heart, pushing you out beyond being just mechanical.
Right.
It's a dynamics. And that's what we want. And so in that is a lot of faith and compassion. Brother Bam tells us this in compassion. He said in this day the Scripture is fulfilled. He said, we call Him, talking about Jesus, a meek man. He was. But many times we misunderstand what meekness is. He was a man of compassion, and yet we fail sometimes to understand what compassion is. Not human sympathy, it isn't compassion. But compassion is doing the will of God. He said, talking of Jesus, said he passed through the pool of Bethesda, the gate, and there laid people, multitudes of them. And multitudes is no certain number. But there laid multitudes, lame, blind, halt, withered. And he had compassion on the people always. And he went to one person that was not lame, blind, halt, or withered. Maybe he had a prostate trouble. Maybe he had some little infirmity that he was retarded. He was 38 years old. It wasn't going to bother him. It wasn't going to kill him. He was lying there on a pallet, and he said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" And the man said, "I have no body to put me in the water, but while I'm coming, well, someone steps down ahead of me." See, he could walk, he could see, he could get around, but he was just feeble. And Jesus said to him, "Rise up and take up your bed, go to your house." And then Jesus was questioned on that. He said, "Remember, the scripture said so." And so he's saying here, Jesus went and there was a ton of people out there to be healed, and Christ Jesus only went to one man, healed that one man, and went on about his way, never touched the rest of the crowd. And Brother Bram said, that's compassion, doing the will of God.
That's right, man.
And so we're not presenting a situation that says, "Oh, when the dynamics come on me, everybody I'll come in contact with, we'll pray for them and God will heal them." That's not it at all.
Right.
But it's to put yourself in a place that any time he wants to anoint you to do the exploits of what the Holy Ghost does, you are ready to do it and he can do it through you.
Right.
Paul had that woman, the fortune teller, following him for days, saying, "These men be, you know, preachers or prophets of the Most High." I forget how it said it, but "these men be men of the Most High God." Remember that in the scriptures?
Yeah.
For days. And finally he turned around and rebuked that woman, and the devil was in her and changed the situation. And Brother Branham commenting on that said, you know, Paul was a prisoner to Christ. We know that. And he knew that that wasn't right. He knew that there was, but he had to wait on the Lord. And I think just kind of a chuckle about it sometime here, the way I think maybe Brother Branham might have said this was, maybe God wanted to get a little bit of advertisement, a little bit of publicity from that woman. So she's going around telling everybody, "These men are men of the Most High God. These men are..." So he got some free advertisement at the devil's expense.
Right.
Then when he got done, he said, "Okay, we've advertised enough." Then he anointed Paul, and Paul turned and said, "You come out of there."
Right.
Or whatever you understand.
Right.
And so that's what I'm saying. Paul was still, the first day, he was still the same Paul and had the same call of God on his life, but he wasn't permitted to the Holy Ghost to do nothing yet. But at a certain time, he was. What am I saying? When God got ready to get something done with Paul, he could get it done anytime he wanted to.
That's right.
Because Paul understood who he was, and he was a prisoner to Christ, to only do what Christ would do. And so, Brother Brown tells us that compassion is doing the will of God. And that's more important than anything else, is doing the will of God.
Amen.
Doing the will of God. I'll give you an example. Brother Brown said that. Man over there in Germany, whatever, wrote the book and said, "A God that can sit back with his hands folded across his tummy and watch all them people be martyred." Brother Bram said, see, he didn't understand. He didn't understand revelation, the inspiration of it. He didn't understand the program of God. God's program in compassion would say, let the seed fall into the ground. Let it die. Let it rot. Because that's God's program, see? And so it takes an anointing from heaven to put us in the channel to see and know what God's trying to get done. And that's what Brother Ram was talking about and all that. And so you find out that this that I'm talking about, leading by inspiration, rises up and it causes us to move out into something. It's not like something you do, okay? What you do is you walk in all that you know how to walk in. And you become all the mechanics that you know how to become. You do everything that you know how to do. You pray, you do all the stuff you're supposed to, and then you leave the rest to God.
Amen.
And when you do that, God will use you. And so, it's not like we just, well, I'm going to go off out on this limb today. No, it's something that takes place. It has to come from heaven.
Right.
But you've got to present yourself and show God, listen, I am here.
Right.
I have done my part. I want you to come upon me. I have a desire to touch lives, and I can't do it until you touch me.
Amen.
But there's a lacking of desperation for that right there. to get up every day and say, God, touch somebody's life through me today. Use me.
Right.
Wear me out this day, Lord, for your people, for people that you want to get to. And so it'll put us out there where we become the expression of Almighty God to this generation. And we must recognize that arrangement, how this works. I know I haven't covered a lot of different territories and I keep talking about the same stuff, but I want you to understand what I'm getting at here is this concept that he calls you and then he goes in you and he'll back up what he says he will do. Brother Branham was the same way. He stood right up there on the platform and said, you know what I'm waiting for. He preached the word, whatever, but when it come time to move out and operate that gift, he said, you know what, I can't do it myself, but I'm waiting on him. But listen, saints, when that angel of the Lord came, didn't you see something different in that man? Didn't you hear a change in his voice? You see what I'm saying? Because he positioned himself. He said, I don't know. I mean, I don't know that he'll do it, but I'm believing a promise. Well, I'll stand right here and I'll position myself. And I'm telling you, he can come and he can reveal. I don't know if he will, but he can come and do it. And I'm standing here. And if he don't come, I'm going to look like an idiot. Right? Yeah. Why? He moves out there on that limb by faith. Right. Belief in a gospel. Belief in a promise. And of course, God come on the scene and would anoint him and he'd reveal the thoughts of the intents and all that. Not he, but God in him. So we want to recognize that arrangement. We want to recognize that we surrender ourselves to God and he will come and anoint us. Brother Brown had that same way. Now, I'm going to try to cover a couple of things real quick here and then we'll finish because it's almost time to quit now. There's one thing that I like about truth and about the message. Brother Brown was a gatherer of truths. There was a whole lot of things that you and I know to be truths in the message that people attribute Brother Branham as being the one to bring those truths, and he wasn't.
Right.
But what he was a man who could go back and he could gather the truths of different men, and that's why you'll hear him saying, you know, men who, what's the Bible that you was asking about, the man's name? Scofield Bible, he'd say, he had it right here, but he didn't have it right here. He'd say the Catholic Church had it right about reverence in the sanctuary, but over here, they didn't have it all right over here. Maybe Luther had this right, but he was over here. And Brother Branham took all the truths that were laying out there and he gathered them together. But here's the point, one of the points I want to make on that is that God will never judge a generation until truth has been manifested to them. And though all those men who were not prophets and all those sort of things, though they may have had some of the truths of the Scripture, but there was a line drawn in the sand when God expressed his way of dealing with things. And God says, I have what I call prophets, and they are the divine interpreters of the word. And so when a prophet comes up and he steps up and says, you know what, Luther had it right on this, that becomes very solid judgment material. Not because Luther said it, not because the Catholics or something else, but when a vindicated prophet stands and says, here's truth on the matter. That's where God establishes it from that day forward that he can use that because now it's come a vindicated way. Not just some man that taught truth, but a vindicated prophet who said it's truth. And so the point I'm getting at is that Brother Branham brought a lot of truths. And so I'll be extreme about this. President Obama can say something that's truthful. And if that which he speaks causes the word or something that's been delivered to us in the message to come alive, it sheds some light on it, then God doesn't have a problem with that. God doesn't have a problem with someone who's not even a Christian if they write a poem that's got inspiration in it. Because Brother Ram tells us poetry, that God is in inspiration. And he anoints people to write songs. He anoints people to be different artists, to write songs or to write poems or do things like that. How many knows he said that? God is in inspiration, even outside of people who are Christians. They're all gifts that he calls them to do. And so they all have some of the same things. And Brother Ram pointed this out, and you've probably heard it many times. He said, look how many men that were songwriters, and they'd go write, there is a fountain filled with blood, drawing from Emmanuel's veins, and then go out the next day and try to drown themselves. Right. And so Brother Ram brings that in, and this is one reason why I appreciate a prophet in our day. And I'm speaking when I say this to ministers and Because you know that you under inspiration, and after you're through with the inspiration, then you go down in this valley and you wonder what on earth's going on. And a prophet made us to understand more about that. But there are people and there are gifts, and it comes by inspiration. And God is in inspiration. God can cause poets to write poetry that actually is inspired of God. And Brother Bram actually said he called one man by the name, said he wrote the best folk songs there was out there, and then went and committed suicide one day after he wrote a song. Because he was inspired, it came from, and he was inspired, and then he come off that mountaintop and he didn't know what to do. And this is what I'm trying to, one of the things I want to get to, because we want to live by inspiration. And anytime you're used of God, then you'll find yourself like Jonah, sitting over here in the mully grubs, right, asking God to take you off the scene.
Right.
That's right. The higher the gift, the higher the inspiration, the harder the price to pay.
Amen.
And so, I was listening to, and I said all that because I want to share something I had heard from a writer, a woman who's a writer today. And Brother Bram talked about so many of them, you know, that they were neurotics. They were considered to be out of their minds or whatever. But it wasn't that. Here's what it was. They were gifted, and they would go up in that anointing and in that inspiration, and they would do beautiful pieces of work. And when they would come from that, they knew that they had fallen from something, or they had come from something. Now they've got this valley that they're in, and they don't know what they're going to do with the rest of their life. They know they're not going to be able to do that again. And so they come into a despair. The preacher's the same way. You preach a sermon and everybody says, "Oh, that was awesome. That was really good. That really was what I needed," you know. And then you go away and you go, "Well, next time I preach, I can't do that. I'm afraid I won't do that again." And there's a despair that sets in because I want to be used of God, and He's used me once, but now I'm afraid when I go to work today, He won't use me today like He did yesterday. I mean, can anybody identify with one thing? Okay. And so this writer, this woman is a writer. She's 40 years old. She wrote this book. She didn't know, but the book became a bestseller worldwide. And so everywhere she went after that, people would come to her and say to her, "Aren't you afraid?" She said, "They would speak doom on me. Aren't you afraid because that your next book that you write will not be as good as this one? This one was so awesome. I mean, we don't know that you could do that again." And she said, "You know what? I am." She said, "When I started out to be a writer in the first place, I was afraid of that." And she said, "Sure enough, I am. I'm afraid because I know that this book's been written. And all these people have loved it, and now I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it again." So she was telling about this, and she's speaking about the same thing Brother Branham was talking about, how that when they come down off of that, there's despair. What do I do? And a lot of them commit suicide. A lot of them become neurotics. A lot of them become alcoholics.
Right.
Because they don't know what to do with their life after they've been used of this gift.
That's right.
And it drops them to this bottom spot. And so she had trouble with this. And she said she was a couple of things that happened to her. And she was saying, "You know, my life has been transformed." You just bear with me as I get to this. It may sound like I'm speaking something that has nothing to do with the gospel, but it does. And so she said, "You know," she said, "I spoke to a particular poet one time." And I don't remember any of these women's names or men's name, but I could find out if you want. And so she said, "I was speaking to a poet one time, and this poet said, 'You know, I'll be out inside my yard working,' and she said, 'and a poem will come.'" And she said, "It comes off the mountain like a wind." And she said, I know it's coming because it shakes the ground." And she says, "I'll take off running to the house just as hard as I can go because I've got to get to a pencil before it gets to me." And she said, "Sometimes I don't get to the pencil where I can write it, and the poem passes right through me and goes right on, and I miss it. And I know inspiration struck me, but I missed it." Right? And so she said, "Other times I'll get to the pencil," and she said, "it just passes through me," and she said, "I'll actually reach out." And how many knows that there are really some strange people, but they can do some miraculous things sometimes. She said, "I'll reach out and grab that poet by its tail," and she said, "I will pull it back. And while I'm pulling it back, I'm writing it. And she said it'll come out absolutely word for word perfect, except backwards. That's strange, but there are people like that. And so, but what are we saying here? We in ourselves are nothing, but we're called to a gift. And so she began to understand this is a gift that's coming, and there's a way that it works, and I have to work with that gift, just like Brother Bram said. I'm waiting on Him. It's going to come. I have a certain way I have to interact with it. And I have to let it do it the way it wants to do it. And sometimes you say, I missed it, or the person missed it. And so this woman says that. Then she said she talked to a guy who was a songwriter. And said he was going down the road one day driving, and all of a sudden inspiration began to strike him for a song. He had no pencil, had nothing to write on, and he began to come to this and to realize this thing that I'm talking about. And he finally just stopped and he said, "Hey, you." Now he's referring to who this inspiration is coming from. They don't know it's God, but it's a gift from God. He said, "Hey, you, can't you see that I'm driving? Can't you see that?" And I know this sounds ridiculous. But he said, "Can't you see that I can't write right now?
Right.
I can't. You're coming upon me with inspiration. I can't do anything with it at the moment. If you want this song to be written, to become a beautiful work that would bless people, come to me where I can write it."
Right.
So this man's beginning to realize this inspiration, it's not him. This woman that was the poet, she realized it's not me. It's something that comes from somewhere else.
Right.
And I have to work with it. And but there was this despair that they all had that after that this had worked, they would have this valley that they would sit in, not knowing what to do and all that sort of thing. And so I'm still getting to something here to show you what they found out on this. And it's a prophet's message to make sense of it. And though these people aren't Christians, what they're saying about how they've learned the gift in their life, they're realizing and they've learned how to work it, is exactly what Brother Bram tells us.
Yeah.
And it means the same thing to you and I this morning, of how we can surrender to what God has called us to do and how to put it in the right perspective to realize, you know what, it's not me, but it's Him.
Man.
There's something that comes, and I want Him to be able to come.
Man.
I want to be ready for Him. And so she talks about this, and then she says, you know, and I know that devils get in this kind of stuff too, so I'm not oblivious to that. But it's still the way it works and the truths of it. And so she was telling, she said, you know, years ago in Northern Africa, there'd be people, they'd have these dances or whatever. And I don't know if it's dancing around fires or whatever, but there would be these dances, and they're usually some sort of ritual or religious something or other that they would be doing. But she said, every once in a while, it just happened once in a while, these men would be dancing for this, whatever their culture was, and just once in a blue moon, these men would be dancing, and all of a sudden something would happen. Something would come up over one man, and everybody would see it. Everybody would catch it, and they would look at it. And it was like another being took this guy's, and so he was anointed. And you can say, well, that's the devil, but I'm trying to point a concept to you here. And something would happen, and he would absolutely just blow away the people in whatever their worship or the religious, whatever it was. They look at that and they see, and they called it Allah at that point. But they recognized that, and they'd say, God, that's God, because this man would do something that they know that he could, nobody else could do. And it only happened once in a while, so that's God, that's God. They recognize it as God. And so some of the other cultures picked up on that sort of thing. And when someone was like that, they, early cultures, realized, you know what, it's not them. It's something that influences them. And they call it a genius. And you and I call people who do things a genius, but they call it a genius. And they would say, he has a genius. And they put it in perspective and said, you know what, if this man's work or this poet or this song, what writer, whatever, if they're a flop, it's not totally their fault because they have a genius. They have someone who helps them.
Right.
That's what they call it. That's all they knew to call it, was a genius. And so they just don't have someone. They have someone to help them. And at the same thing is if they use, they're used of that and it becomes a magnificent work, they can't take credit for that either because they have help.
All right,
well, that's the way people years ago But now it emerged into what we call people geniuses. When somebody has something about their life that's really far out there, sometimes we say, well, they're a genius. So they took the concept of understanding that they had somebody, some force out here that would come and help them be what this extraordinary person. They come from that and begin to ascribe to the person, you're a genius, rather than saying you were helped, it's you. And that's the mistake. And so here's what I'm getting to. These people, these writers and these poets and all that, and this woman wrote a book, they had, their whole life had been transformed when they come back to this understanding. And so here's what she said. She said, I was in this book that she was writing, and she had a hard time at some point, and she turned and she looked into the corner of the room, and she said, listen, you know that I'm doing the best I can here. And you know, now she's speaking to God, and she actually referred to it as God at some point. Not what you and I think, but she said, you know what? I'm doing all I can do. And if you want this book to come out and be what it needs to be, you're going to have to do it. Because I'm doing all I can, and I need your help. But she said, I just want you to know, I want it to go on record. I'm here doing my part. What about you? I know that sounds sacrilegious, but take the concept to say, you know what, God? You've called me to this work, and I'm here. I've shown up for work today. Where are you at? Where's your anointing at? That you said you would come upon me and you would make your word come to pass if I show up for work. And so that's what these people had figured out, and their lives were transformed when they understood that. They understood that the work that they were to do was not solely their work. But it come from someone else, and they began to deal with the valleys that come after that easier because they realized, you know what? More of this responsibility, it's on the inspiration that comes. It's that guy's, his responsibility, and there's not as much responsibility on me as it is him, because he's got to come and make it work. Right. And so that's what I want to share with you this morning. We want to live by inspiration. But don't fret. You just line yourself up with the Word. Get to the place you know you're supposed to be. Do what you're supposed to do. And all the rest of it belongs to God.
Amen.
And if you go a day and He doesn't do anything, as long as you know you've positioned yourself properly, then you can say, you know what? I'm not going to fret about it. Amen. Because if He wants to get something done through my life, He can do it. Because I'm a surrendered vessel.
Right.
I'm surrendered to Him, and He can get it done. And you'll see that as time goes on, you'll see more of that happening. You'll see more of that happening in our eyes, especially when third pull really begins to kick in the manner that we know it's got to kick in for us.
Right.
You'll see that happening. But it won't happen as long as we're back over here hugging up against the tree. It won't happen over here as long as we're still stuck in all the influences of Laodicea and that sort of thing. We've got to break through something, saints,
amen,
to where the Holy Ghost has His way with us. And I can just say this as we close. There's one more final event of what I'm talking about, and that's our body change. We can't do it.
Right.
We know we can't. But we know just as sure as anything that when He gets ready to do it, all it will take is another sound from heaven, if you want to say it that way, another rushing mighty wind, another movement of the Spirit of God to go across us, and He'll quicken everything about us. We know that. But we want to be in our position, just like the little woman who armor meatpacking guy, you remember the story. And there she was standing out there with her flowers in her hand, as Brother David Kozel would preach about it when he'd say something about it. Here she is standing there with her flowers in her hand, standing out there waiting, and all the people making fun of her. But she believed it. She wasn't back over somewhere hiding with her flowers, hope they don't see me. She walked right out there where He said, I'm coming to get you. She walked right out there with her flowers, with her dress, and stood right there in the face of opposition and said, He's coming for me. I believe it. And of course, we know the story. Here comes, you could hear the wheels turning in the sand, and He came to get her. And that's the point I want to say with all that. Let's make sure we don't have our dress tucked away in the closet. Let's make sure we don't have our flowers put away over here in a vase. Let's put the clothes on, put the dress on, get the flowers. Let's walk out there and stand by the street and say, I believe him. And he'll come. He will come just as sure as anything because he promised he would. Let's bow our hearts to him. Thank you, Lord Jesus, this morning for your words. Lord, we're so thankful of your presence among us. So thankful for truths that you've given us. God, to know that we're not a people left to ourselves. Though there's a certain portion of it that is us, God, it's mostly you. We give you that recognition this morning, Lord. If there's a gift, if there's anything good in us, Lord, it's you that's doing it. We recognize that. We just say, God, come. Lord, use us. Mold us. Make us. Become the people that you want us to be. Visit this generation in us, Lord. Don't let the people that we work with go without the gospel being manifested to them. Not in word, but in power and demonstration, Lord. May you visit every workplace, everywhere that these people here go and have any interaction whatsoever to much of a degree, Lord. May you manifest opportunities and show yourself alive in the midst of your people. God, may you raise our expectations up high. Lord, to believe that you will meet us every day as we go to work, as we go to the store. Lord, that you will meet us with your anointing and send us forth. And God, you'll put people in our pathway, not just people that are that when we speak to them that there's no response in the gospel. But God, people who are hungry, send us to them, Lord, that we might touch their lives. God, that this gospel would go to them, that others could be saved. Lord, even if it means that they're only saved as foolish virgins, we pray, God, that you touch lives through us and seek out the elect, Lord. We ask, God, that you'd help us with this, that you'd anoint us. Make us to be Miss Jesus Christ in expression today, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand. Make me more like thee. How many should say that? That I can say that for most of us, if not all of us, that we have been sitting under
the Word for some time. And God has been putting into us mechanics, truths, so that when it comes time for something to happen, we will project the right thing.
Right.
And, you know, you could put gasoline in a car that could take you somewhere. You could put gasoline in a chainsaw that could cut down something. So what am I saying? That God would deliver to us the right mechanics so that when He lights us off, we won't go cut something down, but we'll go do something good. You know what I'm saying? God is ministering by word to us the rapture. By word form, something that can change our bodies. But it takes an anointing of the Holy Ghost to quicken us for that. And we want to present ourselves ready for that. Ready for that time that when He wants to just anoint us and change our bodies, that He'll do it. And I know Brother Ram told us that when that time comes, that it'll be an easy thing for the believer because they do believe such. They believe in such things. The rest of the world won't. We live in an age right now where the world has said no to righteousness. When that ministry that came and God shook that those gifts and that ministry in front of this world, where everyone had to speak and say, you know what, that was God. Nobody had a ministry like that. And yet, the truth and the righteousness and the holiness that was presented by that same message, the world has said no to that. So the world said no to righteousness. They had not pleasure in righteousness. And therefore, the Scripture said that God would sin, actually sin, strong delusion, and allow them to believe a lie.
Yep.
Because they didn't have pleasure in righteousness. Because they didn't accept it. And so that they would believe a lie, and actually Scripture said actually be damned. But saints, not you and I.
Right.
Because we said yes. We said yes to the holiness. We said yes to the truths. We said yes to the manifestation of God. We said yes. So you and I must believe that God has not sent you and I strong delusion. Right?
Right.
For us to believe a lie, but to be saved, to be a quickened people. Right. That's what we believe. We know that to be truth. And so with that, we want to make sure that we're always in a position where we recognize and say, Lord, you know what? Here we are. You've given us your mechanics, but Lord, today, send your dynamics.
Amen.
Just like any other day, send your dynamics. Come to church next week saying, Lord, send your dynamics.
Amen.
You go out today, send your dynamics. Let the dynamics of the Holy Spirit will touch our fellowship, touch our speech, touch our actions, that it would always be representative of Christ. And so you go this day searching out and believing those things, and God will bless you. It's good to be with you. And Sister Sarah, I have a book for you, okay? So, and we want to make sure you get that before you leave. And I think that everybody's gotten the book now that I brought. But anyway, if anybody else needs one, just let us know. I think there's still some more. We can order some more if we need it. So, anyway, God bless you. You can stay and worship however long you want to. We'll sing that again. Make me more like thee. Amen. And just remember to get with me about the Bartlesville breakfast for the men, and also parents with children. Get with me about setting up a time we can get together with the little ones. God bless you.
Make me